Hello, everybody. Mark Carlson here, SNEA Technical Council Co-Chair. Welcome to the SDC Podcast. Every week, the SDC Podcast presents important technical topics to the storage developer community. Each episode is hand-selected by the SNEA Technical Council from the presentations at our annual Storage Developer Conference. The link to the slides is available in the show notes at snea.org/podcasts. You are listening to SDC Podcast, Episode 65.
So you might have guessed, I'm Paul Luce, and myself and half of our division is here today to give you this talk. In fact, Brooke even sent us an email a couple days ago and just assumed this was a panel discussion. He said, no, it's actually four of us that are going to go through this. So we're going to talk about NVMe over Fabrics target by SPDK and vHost implementation. I'm going to give you the intro on SPDK, and I'm going to kind of assume that a lot of people have at least heard of it. Anybody heard of SPDK? Yeah, it's been pretty popular here. I think there were some talks last year, maybe the year before. I was out here last year doing an NVML talk, and out here a few years before that doing Swift erasure coding, and then dialing way back to the first days of the OFA Windows NVMe Express driver. Came out here and did a talk on that as myself and another small team of engineers put that together. But SPDK, wow, this thing isn't moving. There we go. Okay, so I'm just going to do like three quick slides since there was a huge show of hands, right? What it is, why it is, and how it is kind of the way this is going to flow. So what it is, basically a bunch of software building blocks, right? It's all software building blocks. And we'll see real quickly on the architecture slide, if you haven't used it before, there are a bunch of different libraries, a bunch of different tools. You can mix and match them to do whatever makes sense for your environment with the focused all-around performance. It's all open source, all BSD licensed. I've got a slide talking about how our community has grown. Really, over the last 6 months, a lot of strides in building the community up and really building up, taking advantage of the software underneath and trying to get more people involved. And, of course, the theme is all user space and pulled mode stuff to really get the most efficiency out of drivers, most efficiency out of hardware without using the kernel. All right, so there's everything that SPDK is. We could easily spend a whole talk just going over this, but I want to give time for my colleagues to get into the meat of what we're about here this afternoon. I will point out just for my own shameless plug here, Blob Store here, I've got a talk coming on Wednesday at 1:30 if you want to hear more about that, deep dive into that. Essentially, SPDK is kind of layered into three sections. Right, we've got our protocol components, we've got our services layer where we add value and people can add value with different system services. You can add using our block device abstraction layer, add a compression or encryption or kind of anything you want to do in sort of a filter pattern as you get through the stack. And then we've got our pulled mode device drivers at the bottom. Various different points of integration that have been done really all over the last year. I'll talk a little bit about the RocksDB one on Wednesday. Zia's got a talk on the Ceph one Tuesday, is that right? Yeah, Thursday, I don't know, sometime this week. and then we've got some pretty cool application framework stuff that is sort of a helper for putting all this stuff together. I'll talk a little bit about that Wednesday when we go through a Blob Store example. But that's kind of what it is, this collection of stuff. Okay, and then why? Everybody raise their hands. You all know what SPDK is for. It's for performance, right? It's for getting the most out of the hardware that you're using. It's for really helping to deal with the issue that unless you've been living under a rock since NVMe came out and started shining a spotlight on the software overhead, right? That's what this is all for. It's all to remove the software overhead, really expose the benefit of next generation media and today's and next generation CPUs. So you can see some of the high-level benchmarks. We'll talk more about that today and also on Wednesday. But you know, 10x more IOPS with NVMe over Fabrics, 8x more IOPS per core with NVMe Express. And the per core is a really important piece, and you'll see that in the numbers. Really, it's really about maximizing the use of a core to get real work out of it instead of having it do a lot of busy work. Lots of better tail latency with RocksDB workloads. Got some good numbers on that we'll show you on Wednesday. And then overall, more efficient use of development resources. You might say, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means, right, we are really building this community. So This started out as really as a science project in a lab in Arizona 5 years ago or something, and grew slowly and got more sort of official inside of Intel. Eventually it became clear that it made sense to open source this. A lot of this was common core components that you would use in building an optimized storage application to use CPU and next generation drives as efficiently as you can. So it was open sourced, but it was still not really that accessible, not usable by a community. It was just kind of like dumped into GitHub, and one day master would just change on you because somebody had a huge pull request that got accepted. So what we've been focusing on this year, and have made some huge strides, is really getting a community in place and turning this into not an Intel project that's being shared with everybody, but an SPDK project that everybody contributes to. So we've got an IRC channel, we've got a distribution mailing list. All of the reviews are through Garrett Hub now. So every single review that's pending, every patch that's pushed, all of the reviews are visible and everybody is invited to contribute. So we've got a maintainer model. We've got, that's the next slide. We've got Trello, which is what we're using for our backlog. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, the only other thing I want to mention on this slide was Trello. So in addition to having our reviews in the open and the code in the open, all of our discussions and designs in the open, Trello is where we keep our backlog. So anybody that has an idea or any large project that we have that's work in progress now will show up on Trello. And anybody can go up and look at the design documents, contribute to the design discussion, or find meaningful work to do. So we've got it categorized in like low-hanging fruit and big things that you can do. So you can go up there and find, you know, is there a small patch I can do to get involved and help learn how this code works, make a contribution. You can go out there and find meaningful work really easily. So that's all up there. Okay, and I want to take the one quick question on this slide.
No, next one.
This one.
Yeah. So your comment about the
50%
latency, is that for
IO determinism? This is, the keyword here is some RocksDB workloads. So I'm going to defer your question. Maybe we can talk about it afterwards, or we can talk about it on Wednesday, because we've got the performance engineer that took these measurements on Wednesday. I'm giving the first 80% of the talk on Blobstore itself. The last 20%, he'll be covering RocksDB workloads on top of Blobstore. So you'll get all the nitty-gritty info. Okay, and then one last word about the community. We had a summit in April. I think it was right here in this hotel. I'm pretty sure it was. And it was a sort of come all. There were 200 people or so here, and it was really presentation style. It was very much like this. We've got a meetup in Phoenix. It's actually full now, November 6th through 8th. We were planning on maybe 15 developers from all different companies around the world. We're up to 22 now. It's kind of like, oh my gosh, we got to get a bigger boat. So we had to get a bigger room. But we have 22 developers coming to Chandler. And all we're going to do for 3 days is do design discussions and write code. And the one rule is there's no PowerPoint allowed. So if anybody is interested, even though we're full, I might be able to squeeze in a few more. If you're familiar with SPDK and you come with your development environment and you're ready to contribute to good, meaningful design discussions, we'd love to have you. We can easily make some room for another one or two maybe. Okay, so that's the high level. What is SPDK, why we're doing it? Now I'm gonna turn it over to Zia. Are you coming up next? And he'll start getting into the meat of this talk.
So my name is Zian. So let me introduce the MVNE over Fabrics target and the vHost part. Actually, for the, let me see the next page. For the MVNE over Fabrics component, we released our first version in 2016. And we also have some updates in 17.03 with some performance improvement. And also in next release, 17.10, we will continue the scalability and the performance improvement for thousands connections. And we also have the SDK's own MVNE over Fabrics host or initiator. It is first released in last year, and we also have some performance enhancement in SGL patch to remove the data copy. So the performance of both MM over target and the host is both good. And in this page, it shows the throughput comparison between SDK MME over fabric target and the kernel MME over fabric target. Let's see the diagram in the left. We can see that in this diagram, both SDK and the kernel can achieve the network bandwidth. There are three Merox card with 150 gigabit BPS line rate, and both kernel and the SDK MF target can achieve that. But for the core utilization, we can see that SDK only uses 3 cores, but kernel uses 30. So the per core performance for IOPS for SDK is about 10x better. And the performance gaming, there are three reasons. The first is that we have our own SDK user space MVNE driver, and it is already open sourced and used by many customers, companies. And the second is that we use the RDMA QPR polling. There will be no interrupt. And the third one is also important. For the connections from the client, our pinged to the dedicated CPU cores. It means that there will be no migrations for the connections and no resource contentions for each connection. So this is all the performance gaming. And this diagram shows the experiment that we use two machines. They are connecting directly, and we will test the round trip time from the initiator to the target. The round trip time means that the initiator sends the I/O, and the ending time will be the initiator receives the request. And there are two types of comparison. It will be read-write, read and write. So let's focus on the left part with the left two. It is compare the kernel target with the kernel MF initiator and the SDK MF target with the SDK initiator. We can see the total round trip time for the kernel case is about 25 microsecond, but for the SDK we only have 14 for the read. It means that the latency for the write and read is reduced by 44%, and there are same case for the write. It reduced the latency by 36%. And this diagram shows the detailed analysis. If we use the SDK target with the kernel MF initiator, we divide the total round trip time into three parts. The first is the fabric arrive time. The second is the device time. It means the I/O processing in the target site. And the last is the fabric departure time. We can see that from the device time, it means that the I/O executed in the SDK MF target, it starts at 6.05 microsecond, and the last is 13.05 microsecond. It is about several microseconds. So the time is very small. And if we replace the kernel MF initiator with the SDK MF initiator, we can see that the time of the fabric arrive times, it means that the MF initiator sends us a request, and after that the server receives that. We can see that the previous case, the time is about 6 microseconds. If we replace with the MF initiator, SDK MF initiator, it will be reduced into 2 microseconds. And also there are some latency reduction for the fabric departure time. So from the two diagram, it decreases the latency from 20 microseconds to 14 microseconds. And this is my first part for the MF MNE over fabric target and the initiator. And the next part is the accelerator vhost target. And before we introduce SDK vhost target, there will be some simple introduction for VirtIO. Actually, VirtIO is a parametrized driver specification. In the guest VM, there will be the VirtIO front-end drivers. And in the hypervisor side, there will be VirtIO back-end drivers. And the hypervisor can use either device emulation or a pass-through or others to emulate the functions of the VirtIO back-end drivers. And there are many type of VirtIO drivers. For example, VirtIO Net, VirtIO SCSI, VirtIO Brock. And for SDK, we only focus on VirtIO Brock and VirtIO SCSI performance improvement. And the relationship between the vhost and the existing VirtIO is that the vhost solution, it pulls out the VirtIO backend drivers from the hypervisor to the vhost target. And the vhost target can be implemented in two types. The first one is the vhost kernel, and the second is the vhost user space. And in SDK, we implement it in user space. And for the benefit of vhost is that the vhost protocol separates the I/O processing. In the protocol, the guest VM will negotiate with the vhost target for the following three information. For example, the memory, the number of the VirtIO queues, and the location of the VirtIO queues. Yeah, actually, we have some slides show that there will be some booths.
Tomorrow morning at like 7:30, right?
Yeah. Okay. And in this page, it shows the detailed implementation of SDK vhost target. Currently, SDK support both acceleration for VirtIO SCSI and VirtIO Brock in guest, and all the codes are open sourced. The QMU will set up a vhost target through Unix domain socket memory, and the guest VM submits the I/O to the vhost target through the VirtIO queues. And during that, there will be no QMU intercept. Also, during the IO execution, there will There will be no VN exit. And for the completion interrupt, it is implemented by the event ID. And definitely, for the QMU, we need to have some changes. For example, the QMU need to allocate some huge pages for the guest VN. But definitely, for the guest OS, it will be no change. So it will be transparent to all the applications inside the guest OS. And this page shows the comparison SDKs vHost with the existing solutions. We compare the vertical SCSI target, vHost kernel target, and the SDK vHost user space target. The difference is about the protocols. You can see for the first one, it just uses the vertical SCSI PCI in QMU. But the second, we use the vHost SCSI PCI. And for SBK, we use the vHost user SCSI PCI. And also in the target side, there also be different. For the kernel vHost target, it will route the vHost to the Linux IO target with the kernel IME drivers. But for SBK, we just use our SBK user space admin drivers. And this page shows some performance evaluation. Let's first see the left diagram. It shows the core distribution from the VM and the IO processing part. We can see that For the VNs, we are allocated the same cores, so there will be no difference. But for the cores to handle the IOs, it is quite different. You can see that if we use the QMU vert IO, it will be used about 10 CPU cores. And for SBK vHost, we will just use one CPU core. And the right diagram shows the performance comparison. It shows that during such configuration in the left diagram, SBK's performance is still much better than QMU vert IO and the vHost kernel. If we calculate the per core performance, I think that SBK vHost will be much better. Maybe it is about 10x better than the existing QMU vert IO solution. And this page is about the demo you can see during the SDC conference. The use case is the software accelerator virtual machine storage. We will have the Intel Xeon Scalable processor, the latest processor in Intel's Purple platform. We will deploy 48 virtual machines on a 24 direct attached Intel Optane NVMe SSDs. And each SSDs will be partitioned into two parts and serve two virtual machines. And this page shows the performance of the 48 virtual machines. We compare the performance between vHost kernel and the vHost SDK. We can see that during the three type of cases, for example, the 4K read, write, and the 4K 70% read, and 30% write, the average performance gain is about 3.2 2x better. And for the details, I think you can see the Intel's booth around the meeting rooms. So this is all my part. The next part will be my colleague's Lohmann's part. It is about the Vtune for SDK. Sorry.
So my name is Roman, and I'm technical lead at Intel Vtune Amplifier team. Now what I'm going to talk to you about today is how Vtune can help in performance debugging of SPDK. Just raise your hands, how many people have heard of Intel Vtune at this point? How many of you have used Vtune features to determine how efficiently your code is passing through the core pipeline? Cool, good to see hands. Okay, so what is Intel Vtune Amplifier? It's a performance profiling tool which can help you analyze your code, identify inefficient algorithms and software usage, and give you performance tuning advice. So what is performance debugging of SPDK? On a very high level, it consists of understanding of three things: CPU utilization, how application passes through the framework, and performance monitoring of physical interfaces, since sometimes applications could be stalled due to approaching bandwidth limits of any physical link. So let's start from CPU utilization. I don't want to say things that people already know, just mention that SPDK operates in polling mode. What that means is that CPU is running high all the time. The thing here is that modern CPUs are still so much faster, even than all those fancy new NVMe drives. But CPU cycles are precious, and it's always good to have kind of justification of that high CPU load. And that's not the whole story. SPDK also bypasses kernel block stack. And what that means is that we lose access to all those nice and handy tools like IOSTAT, BlockSTAT, and others, which calculates IO performance metrics like IOPS, throughput, and so on. So debugging SPDK in terms of IO might become a real challenge, mostly because of standard tools are either inapplicable, as in case of IO performance metrics, or just give a trivial answer, as in case of CPU utilization. And this is where Vtune can help. Vtune covers all the tooling gaps and can give you a complete picture of your performance. And on the next slide, I'll show supported usage models. So this is a quick slide announcing SPDK usage models which are already supported in Intel Vtune. I fully expect many use cases with different Safari configurations to appear over time. So if you have any, and you would like to have profiling capabilities there, so I would love to hear about that. And one more thing which is worth to mention at this point, there is a special option in Vtune to specify what you want to profile, its analysis target. So it could be either executable, process, or the whole system. So Vtune can either launch your application or attach to the already running process, or just profile whole system. Now let's take a look how it shows it. So this is summary window. It's overall performance data of your target, and you can use it as a starting point of your application. Report consists of 5 sections representing application and system level statistics. I will briefly walk through all of them and then focus on SPDK specific. So first one is CPU metrics. It consists of almost 150 various metrics, which helps estimate overall application execution. Next, SPDK info and SPDK throughput represents performance data collected from the framework layer. Bandwidth utilization histogram shows how much time system bandwidth was utilized by a certain value. And the last one, collection and further info. Here you can find information about target application, operating system, CPU type, and so on. So let's get back to SPDK info section and take a closer look. So here you can find overall IO performance data and SPDK effective time metric, which I will describe a bit later. So technically, it shows amount of bytes read on written from the storage device and amount of IO operations, which with the breakdown per access type. So we can expand each section and see how each device performs individually. And as the initial takeaway here, we can notice that there is some utilization imbalance here. And if it's not what is expected, then definitely there is something to do here. Now let's take a look at the SPDK effective time. So that metric represents polling efficiency. This is, technically, it's fraction of cycles when CPU falls into the polling loop and actually found any completions. So what we can learn here? Consider case if VTune identifies relatively good SPDK effective time. Does it mean we are done? The answer is maybe. It all depends on IO performance. If it's okay, then yes, we are done. But if not, then we probably overload the core with devices, and it's better to bring more more core to SPDK and rebalance the application. Another common case is if VTune identifies relatively good IO performance. And same question is here. But answer is still maybe, since now it all depends on effective time. And if it's low, when we definitely have potential to get even more performance from that core, just bring more devices here and we'll get more performance. Now let's take a look at the SPDK throughput section. That section represents performance data as a throughput utilization histogram. That histogram introduces threshold to categorize throughput as low, medium, and high, so you can set up reasonable performance targets and see how and see SPDK activity by throughput utilization level. Now we can switch to the bottom-up view and see where application performance is limited. So bottom-up view is designed to provide performance picture at a glance. It consists of three blocks, thread, IO statistic, and PCI bandwidth. And let's take a look at them separately. So first one is thread. Thread presents a list of threads which was running at the system file collection. That dark brown filling in the background represents CPU utilization, and it's nearly 100% as expected. And that light brown filling in the foreground represents SPDK effective time. And what we can learn here is that approximately half of CPU cycles was really used by that workload on that particular system to move data. Next section is IO statistic. It consists of standard IO throughput and IOPS. We can just bring back what was missed due to bypassing kernel block layer. Performance data is given per device, and also it can be seen per read and write, and also total. And in the bottom, there is a PCI bandwidth. And this is where I would like to draw your attention. It's a new feature, which is available starting Xeon V5, known as a Skylake server. On that platform, we can monitor PCI data, not on the per package basis, but per device. And here, I have two socket system, and four locally attached devices. Three of them are attached to socket one, and one device is attached to socket zero. All of them are identified by VTune, models are identified, and also we can see traffic correlating pretty good with the data collected at the framework layer and data collected from the PMU, from the Encore. Oh, some magic here. Okay, so, and every time good question comes, what next? So we can start from the basic idea to switch back to the thread block, and since it's colored by the throughput layers, which we choose on the summary page. And we can see, for example, and locate recessions and see how low throughput is really low. And for example, in that moment, we can figure out that it's not just low, it's even dropped for approximately 160 milliseconds. And next obvious case is to figure out which function were executed at that moment, prior to that moment, and next, and try to do some corrections. So I think that's it for 10-minute talk. Any questions so far? Yes, directly from Ancore.
Are those on there in the complex IP of the processor? They're in the processor?
Yes, each one is.
So if you have a switch in your system, it's not necessarily true.
It's applicable for a server platform. Yes, sure. Any more questions? So, Z, Paul, who's gonna take summary? it's most of your parts, actually. Anyway. I do, but
drive it home, baby.
So we do great and big job here. let me read. So you can read also, and ask me any question. Sorry?
What are the next things to be done in SDK? What do you think are the most important?
It's a question to you. Definitely, even if I have a mic. Hold on a sec.
Okay, so the question was, what are we doing next with SPDK? We're doing all sorts of cool shit with SPDK. I mean, what you saw today, there's still a lot of room for improvement and growth. Around all of our fabric implementations for NVMOF, both the initiator side and the target side. We're doing a lot with Blob Store, which I'll be talking about Wednesday. And for those of you that aren't familiar with it at all, it's kind of an object storage-y sort of thingy-mabob that we call it just a block allocator. But we're putting some more modules on top of that and really able to present blobs basically as devices. So it's essentially an LVM type implementation. So we're kind of taking all of the useful things that you see in different user storage stacks or different kernel storage stacks and making kind of the user space version of them, in addition to continuing to harden and do performance improvements across all these different things. Yes? I haven't heard any discussions, but it's possible. The way most of those kind of things go, as we become more of a worldwide community and less of an Intel-driven focused thing, we really rely on what you go out and see on Trello, like I mentioned earlier, to get an idea of what people are interested in, where the community wants to take the project, or you jump on IRC and see what people are talking about. So when we talk about future features, it's no longer the case that it's what Intel wants to do. It's the case of what people are doing in the community and where they're taking it. We at Intel are still, you know, the major contributors, and we're continuing to drive the things that we hear about and the things that are already on that block diagram we showed earlier. But really anything goes in the future. It's what people have interest in and are willing to resource, you know, quite honestly. Good question, though. Another one?
On the protocol side, any other thing other than
iSWD? On the target side? Protocol side. Now I haven't heard a whole lot of interest there outside of that either. There's a lot of work on the iSCSI side for us to do still, and that's we're expecting that to be a big topic at our developer meetup in November. We've had a lot of feedback on new features that people would like to see, and again, we're trying to encourage more people to contribute features as opposed to request features. So there's still a lot of work even on the iSCSI side, but I haven't heard too much about new protocols that people want to work on, other than, you know, the NVMe.
What about if
turning
it into a sort of a library? Where are you guys with that?
Did you just ask that question on the mailing list? It just came up 2 days ago. And there's a bunch of different viewpoints on how that works. Some people are sort of using it as a library today. You don't build it as a shared library. And in fact, Daniel, who's one of the maintainers, had a really good answer for it in an email that I wish I could just recite. essentially, a lot of the components in SPDK are at differing levels of maturity, right? Some of them, like the NVMe driver, have been around for quite a while and is pretty mature. The API has stabilized. Other ones, like Blob Store, the API is still developing. It's difficult in some of those cases to really lock them down and say, all right, let's build this as a shared library and use it that way. So right now it kind of varies per module, so there isn't really any, you know, grandiose plan to build anything that way. Yeah, nothing in the near future, but again, it's a completely open project. If somebody came in and wanted to take, like, the NVMe module, for example, and build it that way, then certainly nobody would stop them. Okay, anything else? Sure, we got all night. We had the last talk. And again, that's going to sort of depend on how we gauge the interest in the community. We have some interest at Intel in looking into that, and we're looking at some different open source options right now for the TCP/IP portion. But I haven't heard a whole lot of rumblings on that either. And again, we're looking forward to our developer meetup in November. That's the iSCSI work and some of the vHost work we're expecting to be hot topics for discussion where we'll gauge interest and see who wants to participate and contribute what. And there's a lot of investigation in some of these areas. But yeah, that's up there. Yeah, you know, I'd... Yeah, I'm not super familiar with that either. So that's something we could follow up on offline with the DBTA folks.
Yep. I saw the slide. There's a user space TCP/IP, but I think somewhere I think Intel decided not to open source.
Well, you know, so there was some history there. I don't think that's on these slides, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It was.
History, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that previously we have libunes inside SDK. It is only for the NDA customers. But finally, I mean that libunes in SDK is abandoned by Intel. The reason is that it says that DBTK team will be responsible for the user space TCP/IP stack development. So libunes is just stopped. Maybe current temporary stop in SDK, but we don't know the whether will be happening in the future. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, libuns is what was experimentally used for a little while, but it didn't make it into SDK with any of the same license. So if you find it on any of the old materials or anything, that's basically old news. We don't have a user space TCP/IP stack for SDK right now. Be nice if we did, but we don't. Okay, I think the bar is open if that's the last question. No, Steven's chomping at the bit. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions about the material presented in this podcast, be sure and join our developers mailing list by sending an email to developers-subscribe@snea.org. Here you can ask questions and discuss this topic further with your peers in the storage developer community. For additional information about the Storage Developer Conference, visit www.storagedeveloper.org.